Welcome back, guys. It's your guy, Gunblade Guy, Nate, for the review of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth with no spoilers, no spoiler footage, no story spoilers, just a good old-fashioned review of the game, share my thoughts on it, how we got here, where the series is going, for you to watch without having to worry about any of the game being spoiled for you. So let's jump into it. Here we go. So what are we talking about here? Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is part two in a trilogy of games set to remake the original Final Fantasy VII from 1997. A little confusing, I know. There's a bit of controversy that comes with that idea of remake in and of itself. So there will be maybe a little bit of spoiling or discussion about part one remake in this, but I'm being very careful to not spoil anything from part two Rebirth. So just keep an eye on that language as we go through the review here. And so with that, why the title Beautiful Calamity that I gave this video? Well, if you remember from original Final Fantasy VII, there was this character, Genova. She was a calamity from the skies. Yet, in a way, she was this kind of beautiful female alien, a bit of like a horror movie creature. But at the same time, as they'd zoom in on the face, like, you know, there's some level of beauty there. And the series kind of revolves around this event of this calamity from the skies and everything that was wrought with it. And then in the current time of Final Fantasy VII OG, we have this character Sephiroth, who, again, spoilers for the original, not for the new game that came out a day ago, but spoilers for the original. Sephiroth's plan is to start a new calamity on the planet via meteor, this object that's in the art of the title itself, the meteor. It's going to hit the planet. It's going to start a new calamity. And with it, Sephiroth is going to lie at the center of that event. And as the planet's trying to heal itself, all of its energies and everything, Sephiroth is going to become one with those energies, become a god, and remake the world as he sees fit. And I see the remake series, part one, and this new entry of Rebirth as well, as the same kind of thing, this beautiful calamity in a way, because we had this thing, this gorgeous, wonderful thing that was original Final Fantasy VII, a world in and of itself, a whole world in one game with a complete story with a beginning and an end. And then we started adding things onto it with compilation of Final Fantasy VII, side games, side stories, whatever. But that was all extra. And so here we have this thing that comes along, remake. And in my opinion, it's like this big event. It's this meteor that hits the original world. And by the end of the first entry of this trilogy, remake, we have that event. And after this event, there's a wound. Things are broken. Things are changed. And now we have the creators sitting at the center of that saying, we're going to remake this world as we see fit, just like Sephiroth wanted to do in the original game. So I'm seeing parallels there. And it begs the question then, is it good? Do you want the new world? Do you share the vision that they have for this? Or do you wish it never happened in the first place? Do you prefer the original? Do you want to go back? So that's why I've titled it this, and let's discuss that. I'm going to get into every angle about it. But first, we have to review the game as a game, right? We got to talk about the gameplay, the world, the story, all of the things that constitute a video game we got to address, right? Let's get into that first before we step on that bigger landmine that I'm talking about. Some new things about Part 2 Rebirth is that there's a new kind of open world design to the game. In the original game, once you finished Midgar, you had a world map to explore. And this was in the tradition of all Final Fantasy RPGs that came before it, was you leave your kind of introductory town and you have this map to explore to get to other towns. You get into random battles. Eventually, you'll get some sort of mount or airship or something to traverse the open world easier after you've spent a significant amount of time in it. And that was this concept of how you go from town to town. Rebirth has taken the world map and turned it into an open world game that we're kind of all familiar with at this point. So there's nothing truly revolutionary happening in as much as we've seen these kinds of things before. A game that was kind of the first to do this within Final Fantasy itself was Final Fantasy 15, which had the ability to drive a car around a sprawling map and get out and just fight monsters, explore things. To varying success, I don't think the world was that compelling or diverse or had too many interesting things to show you in Final Fantasy 15. So to me, that's something that is important when you create an open world. What is in the world? How do you interact with it? Is it just space to tack on pointless things to do to fill your game time, or is it meaningful? And with that, you get more playground-like areas with more activities, exploration, nuggets of lore, hunts to do, monster hunts, things to gather, to pick up, to do crafting, little sights and flourishes to see throughout the world, sometimes an interaction with a character, and just in general, with all the things you're doing, more banter, more character interaction, more lore being built up into the world. An example of this that I could give you from part one remake without spoiling anything from part two is in original Final Fantasy VII, there was this area called Sector 6 that had a collapsed expressway because early in Midgar's construction, Sector 6 had a plate failure and it fell to the ground. That was almost not discussed whatsoever in original Final Fantasy VII. Whereas in remake part one, they greatly expanded that area. They gave you the lore of what happened. They had people reacting to and discussing it within history and the space that you're in and how there were towns here before when the Midgar was being built and everything. So there's this expansion of what was already there. It was in the DNA of the original game, but now it's being brought up to the surface for you to see and experience and feel more of it in depth at your fingertips instead of in some sort of extra lore manual somewhere else or in a one line of dialogue in the game. It's now an experience to be had yourself instead of hearing it. The rule of show, don't tell, I think plays a big part in this game, taking a lot of things that were talked about in the original or just referenced or looked at from a distance. Now are gameplay. They're elements you're interacting with as the player. And I think that's good. It helps these open world areas not tread into a space of being monotonous or tedious or pointless feeling, in my opinion. There's a lot of games that are open world, like an Assassin's Creed game will be like, hey, you're in a new area. Here's a 120 treasure chests to find and collect. I'm not talking to anybody to acquire these things. I'm not doing anything special. There's no events around them. I'm just scavenging. And that can get very tedious for me. And I think Rebirth treads that water where I'm just as I might be getting like on the verge of annoyed with an area, we're moving on to the next thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, good, great. I've done everything. I'm ready to move on. And there it is right there. No more chores to do. It's got a good balance of the pacing and the flow of somebody like me who wants to feel more of the world. There's a lot of discussion about people who say, oh, well, this section of the game was never meant to be this long or have this much content in it because it doesn't narratively support it. But it's like, I want a more fleshed out world. I've played the original Final Fantasy VII to a enough of a degree where I felt like I've engaged the game dozens upon dozens of times. I want more. That's just the way I am. So I'm loving that aspect, and I'm loving that it's not just busy work. It feels like I'm doing something that enriches my connection to the world and the characters as I do them. Now, with an update to the game for this open world model, they have the ability to vault up ledges. You can get mounts to expand the amount of places you can go, in the form of chocobos that can move up walls, get to new areas, glide, fly. You eventually get the buggy. So there are things like that that expand your ability to explore and to build upon revisiting these areas. There's quests to gather things. There's monster hunts, which have been around in the series since like Final Fantasy 12. Now we're pretty familiar with them. They had them in Final Fantasy 16 as well, with special conditions for each monster hunt that you can do. Nodes with resources for crafting, small story bits that you can run into that your characters will have banter or some sort of interaction, which is great. You'll still encounter, like in the original game, if you picture the world map as this thing of there's a town, there's maybe a side thing to do like a cave or like Fort Condor, for example, in original Final Fantasy was this detour you could take. But then Junin was your next breakpoint. And then from Junin, you're taking a boat over the seas. The game will have those breakpoints where you're progressing the story into a new area that's like a hard break point, and you've now got a large event to do. And I gotta say, those events are pretty satisfying and much richer than the original. So I always look forward to doing those. And sometimes I'm racing to do those. So that's pretty cool. Now, I think for me, the most important update to this game, you know, it's got additional content. It's bigger. It's badder. They're doing story stuff. But for me, the absolute highlight of Rebirth is how much better the combat is this time around from the first remake. So let's get into that. It feels like it's a closer rendition of a character action game than the first one. And it's hard to explain it necessarily without playing it, but I can draw some parallels for you here. If you go back to Crisis Core, was a Final Fantasy VII spinoff game that was on the PSP, and due to the nature of PSP not being that comfortable to hold in your hands, they kind of knew that, and they made it it wasn't paced like a God of War or anything like that. It was a little bit of a slower action game where you'd issue commands and then there'd be this like 1 second or maybe it's half a second. I don't know. It felt slow. There'd be this input command delay where it's almost like you're outside the character telling them what to do, the same way it would be kind of like in an RPG where you're just standing in line and you tell them to attack and then they run forward, cut, come back, you know. Crisis Core was slow, and I think that was by design because they knew they couldn't pull off action on that device. And then Remake came along, and that was a bit more like, because it had Tetsuya Nomura as its director, developer, etc., that was a bit more in line with Kingdom Hearts, but you're still issuing commands on the side. There's this command menu for you, and the action is faster, but there was still, to a certain degree with Remake Part 1, this idea that like it's not a true action game in the sense that like if I look forward to Final Fantasy 16 and I'm in combat in that game, I can go into fights in 16 where due to dodging, parrying, my capabilities, my moveset, my build, I don't even get hit because I'm using my skills. I'm playing it like a Devil May Cry game in a way of like, I'm going for the highest rating, the highest skill. I don't want to take any damage. Whereas in Remake Part 1, I'm sure there are people that are that good at the game, but like to some degree, it's a little bit more like an RPG of like, you're just going to get hit and you need to perform triage with your cures, your defensive. You can block, but you're not blocking 100% of damage. You're still taking a percentage of it. You're still attaching materia to make you block a little bit better to enhance your capability. So there's still this trade where it's not necessarily a full action game as we understand it. It's this ebb and flow of you are going to take hits, you are going to get damaged, and you got to deal that damage out just as much. You can dodge roll out of things, but dodge rolling feels slow. It doesn't have the responsiveness that I expect out of other games like this. There's a large recovery time. So I was more akin to blocking and enhancing my defenses than I was trying to negate damage whatsoever or roll out of things or be like smooth and like a Dante-like character. And so if you put Remake in the center of, you have this Crisis Core experience, you have this Final Fantasy 16 experience, and Remake somewhere in the center of like, it's not a true full character action game, but it's also a lot faster and better than Crisis Core. Well, when they remade Crisis Core, they updated that game to be a bit more like Remake. And now I think with Rebirth, they've pushed that needle further towards an action game. And you can see hints of it if you've played the intermission entry with Yuffie. There's a lot of things that they've made the game play so much better in that intermission entry that have carried over just naturally into Rebirth. It's hard to explain if you're not playing it, but I'll try and elaborate a little bit. The button presses just feel more responsive, more just instantaneously reactive. Gap closers for Cloud to rush to the next enemy. It's not about your positioning or your spacing or any of that stuff. It's really about what combos are you laying down and getting you back into action faster. In intermission, Yuffie had a much easier time connecting with enemies in the air and just getting up there and meleeing them than in the first entry. And I see that in Rebirth as well. I was playing as Tifa and she just gap closed to a target in the air, comboed them, could perform her moves in the air as well. And also dodging is faster, less recovery time. And you can do this thing that we like to call weaving, where you could drop a couple, you pepper in a couple attacks, hit dodge, and immediately attack out of it without the recovery time. And so they're almost encouraging you, like, go on the offensive. Don't worry about if an attack's coming in. Get your shots in. When you see the attack coming, dodge, get out of the way, then just go right back into it. Don't worry. Like, there are times in Remake where if you're going on the offensive, you're punished for it because you can no longer get out of the way or you're stuck in an attack string. And it seems like that space is a lot more forgiving in Rebirth now. There's other things where certain materia that enhanced abilities are just natural to the character now. So like Cloud has certain moves that previously required a materia. Aerith has certain things that she used to have abilities that she'd have to pop and use to summon a familiar for her. Now it just actively happens if you do a combo correctly. And so they're not simplifying the mechanics by any means, but they're consolidating into where you don't have to have four or five different tracks of, well, now I need to do this or I want to do this. It weaves better into your combat state. And with that, they also have introduced from Intermission, it carried over the perfect block feature. So now, like I was saying, in the previous one, you were more so working on this basis of you're just going to have to do triage. You're just going to get hit by things. Well, now you do have an ability to negate all damage like you would in an action game via, you can dodge better and you can also perfect block. And so that's great. Like, your options as a combatant are opened up so much more in Rebirth, to where I'm having a lot more fun with it, because while I am a sucker for turn-based RPGs, I felt like Remake Part 1, while fun and while innovative for what they were trying to do to try and do this action RPG system and evolve it, I think it wasn't enough, and it just left me in a weird space of feeling awkward in some battles, especially, you know, I was replaying Remake for my podcast recently this last year, right alongside playing Final Fantasy 16 as it just came out. And I would hop back into 7 Remake and feel just like, oh my God, I feel sluggish and stupid and incapable. So I'm loving Rebirth's combat in that regard. In addition to that, there is new synergy skills where you'll team up with another character to introduce skills that have you tapping the button or holding it down to charge it. I'm, you know, at the end of the day, I use these sometimes, but I feel more capable just with my standard combat than dropping some of those. Really, it's for more when you have enemies in a stagger state, which comes back. It's basically in every Final Fantasy game at this point. It's in 16, 15. It was introduced in 13, and I think it's going to stick around pretty much forever. The idea that by using enemy weaknesses, you can make them vulnerable and kind of lock them out for 10 seconds or so while you deal heavy damage to them. So that's cool. With all of those updates to combat, the game still features materia, leveling up that materia, gear, leveling up your gear, crafting items now, all sorts of different ways to build your characters. And I can still, I'm not the best at doing this in Remake, because again, when you give me a character that it's more fun to run in and just do combat, I'm building my characters for damage and for versatility and, you know, basically give them big HP, give them big damage, and I'm pretty good. Now, I'm sure people could like create these crazy Aerith builds that have her MP and her magic stat huge, just exploding the place. And I've certainly done that at certain points in the game where, you know, there are enemies that require you to have magic to beat them. They're invulnerable to physical damage. So I bring in Aerith, I have her do big magic damage, but I prefer with this update to the combat, I just have so much fun flipping around as Cloud and Tifa, and Barret is again kind of my fallback guy to anytime there's something range. He's incredibly fun to play too. So everybody has their own little thing they do well. And I'm finding that I'm gravitating towards combat and all of that. But you do have those additional options for building up characters in the way you see fit, creating your team comp of three people. They've added in the bravery and faith stat, so you can look into doing buffs and debuffs a little bit more effectively too. So bravery is going to increase your physical damage. Faith is going to increase your magic potency. I'm sure there are, the same way there are savants who know how to create these like fantastic mage builds in Elden Ring, I can see the options for that being in the game. I haven't necessarily chased those options, but they're there, right? So that's cool. I think the only thing that about the combat that might be a negative for me is, and kind of wore me down over the course of the game, is with so many attributes to every character has their own individual style of ways they pressure and stagger enemies. And then you've got your materia builds, you've got synergy skills, you've also got the higher combo abilities between characters that require specific, you're building up these charges to these team attacks and everything. And you got limit breaks, you got summons, you got all of these different things going on. And then your enemies all have their attributes. You're assessing them to see what their weaknesses are and what their special abilities they do are. And when you're doing these hunt fights, they have certain criteria you got to meet and everything. So for me, over time, that kind of wore me down a little bit to where it's this term in fighting games, but your mental stack. I feel like my mental stack is very... I get easily distracted, and when you put a lot on my plate just to do simple combat, and in a lot of cases you can just plow through enemies, but then other cases I'm just like, whoa, so many things going on, and like I just lose track of like, oh, a guy just died, and I had no clue because I'm like laser focused on this one dude. So I think what might benefit me, maybe I might enjoy playing the game in classic mode a little bit more, and maybe that's a cop out or it's like an easy mode, but classic mode is this thing where people do your characters, they do their just like melee attacks automatically, and you're only worried about issuing commands the same way you'd be just looking at your timer to fill to perform a special action in OG Final Fantasy. They take care of a third of the busy work for you in classic mode. And I think what that might give me, it's not even about whether the game's easier or harder, but just a little bit of an ability to like step back and watch the battlefield and see these characters on the side doing special abilities and interacting, because sometimes I get so tunnel vision, so laser focused by all the things on my character's plate of like, okay, I'm half dead. I need to drop this. I need to use an item. I've got my synergy charges to expend. I've got, oh, my summon's coming up. Oh, this character over here has a limit break. And it's just like, it's a lot sometimes, and it can get a little exhausting, in my opinion. Now, for somebody out, maybe it's just my old brain. For somebody out there who's younger, they might revel in that kind of thing, love that kind of gameplay. Great. Wonderful. And really, the best thing that comes out of this combat system is like the level of camaraderie between your characters was great in Remake, but it's like off the charts in Rebirth, because you've got your three characters, but all the other people in your party also hang out around the outskirts. You can hear them talking. You can see them performing abilities that really aren't having much effect on the battle, but they're there. You don't have this thing like, oh, we're moving across the world in two separate parties now. They're, everybody's present. Everybody's on your journey with you. And I find that incredibly cool and just immersive in the way that I like. So that covers the combat. You know, the other thing is, how are we spending our time playing this game? This is a full 40, 50 hour game, depending on how you want to spend your time. One thing I've seen a lot about both Remake and this game is the level of padding from the original. And I kind of think of it this way. It's like, if the original didn't exist, would you still consider this game padded? Because I find a good 75% of the things of side quests I'm told to do as interesting. And a game I love to death, Xenoblade Chronicles. I there's so many things to enjoy about that game, but a lot of the side quests I get in that game are run here, talk to this guy. Okay, now you got to think. Go back to this guy halfway across the map. Teleport over here. Okay, now go pick up a patch of fur from this animal. All right, run all the way back to the guy. Like, there's ways in which those quests could have just been streamlined down into one event, you know, have people talk to each other on their own. I don't need to be your messenger boy. These issues where affinity, I've got to be friendly with nine different people in order to make one little thing trigger in an event. And so Rebirth doesn't like waste my time with that. For all of the padding, as people say, I never feel like Rebirth is wasting my time when I'm doing its content. And so I enjoy that. Now, let's talk about this stretch of the game in OG's world. This was basically once you finish Midgar, you're following the rumors of Sephiroth because Cloud feels he's the real threat. And so you're chasing a man in a black cape all over the world. So the main plot isn't necessarily progressing all that much. The purpose of this stretch of the game is to stop at all these little towns and have a moment with each character. You have the Gold Saucer area. You meet a character, but you also learn about Barret's history in OG. The Gungaga area, you get hints of something going on with Aerith. The Cosmo Canyon, you learn about Red 13. Huge moment for him. Nibelheim, Tifa, Cloud, Vincent, if you figure out what's going on with him. In the mansion, you meet Cid. So all of these things are their character moments, even though you aren't progressing the big plot of stop Sephiroth, right? It's just chasing him across the world. And so there's some argument to say, like, does this narrative beat of this basically being the whole thing, one note up until something big happens and the story changes from that part, does that justify a whole game devoted to it in and of itself? And I think the thing that it does is just in that original, you're exploring the world. You're going on that globetrotting RPG quest. And so if that was a staple of that old one, you're getting the modern HD version of that. And I don't just mean better graphics. I mean the fidelity of everything, the locations, the stories, the interactions with people. Everything is brought up to this level of where you had this Lego figure before, and now you have this big, beautiful 3D model. That's the world of Final Fantasy VII. The Lego set of Final Fantasy VII that we played in 1997 is now a whole sprawling world. And so, for better or worse, yes, that is the game. Does it justify a whole game? You answer that. But for me, I think it's something where if I didn't pay that kind of respect to the world in this upscale to whatever, in so many different fashions and meanings of the words, if I didn't pay that respect to it, I don't know that I would be satisfied that they did everything they could to do this world justice. And by God, they did everything they possibly could. I mean, it's at every corner. And it's the same with the characters. There's more character interactions. There's more connections. There's more nuance. There's more exploration of who each of these characters are. You know, scenes that used to take 5 minutes, you're going to spend a whole chapter on. And some people might scoff at that, like, oh, the pacing is bad. But it's like, in some ways, some of these original scenes of OG Final Fantasy VII have incredibly heavy moments that are just kind of like brushed under the rug, and you're now onto the next town 15 minutes later. And I like paying the respect to it, because again, I've played the OG a million times, right? So I want to go deeper. I want to see something new. I want to explore every angle of what's possible with this. So with that, spending your time, you know, obviously you've got the combat we've already talked about, but the game also has tons of mini games, activities, and things to explore in each town. There's like, I won't even get into how many mini games there are, but if you picture the Gold Saucer from OG, it had a lot of little games to play. That's everywhere here. And little moments that were just fun, silly little jokes have become mini games in and of themselves. Now in Final Fantasy fashion, we've got Queen's Blood, a new card game to play. Final Fantasy VIII had a card game. Final Fantasy IX had a card game. X had Blitzball, not a card game, but still a full-ass game within a game. And, you know, 14 brought in Triple Triad back. All of this stuff to say, you know, we've got our new hot girl on the block card game in a final, like, stuck into a Final Fantasy game, and it's a lot of fun. I'm just starting to get better at it because I didn't play as much as I should to get through the game at the speed I wanted to get through the game. But on a replay, I'm going to dive deeper into Queen's Blood. They all pull on things from the series legacy. And it's not like out of left field where they're just chalking it full of dumb stuff that they didn't need to. Like, this was all something in the original game, and that's cool. I can see where people might find that annoying to some point, but back in the day, that was the charm of original Final Fantasy VII. It was so many things to so many different people. It was such a weird game in a lot of ways. And so this game can get wacky and weird and pull you on so many different threads that a modern game designer might say, oh, it lacks focus, it lacks pacing, it lacks this. But it's like, I got news for you. Back when we had that in Final Fantasy VII in 97, we loved it. I didn't want this game to end. And every time I took a little detour or do something different, I was pleasantly surprised. And I think that can lead into us talking about the story, which, again, no spoilers, can't really talk about the story. Can give you a little tidbit of what to expect in this regard by using an example from Remake Part 1. So if we look at OG Final Fantasy VII, we're in the Shinra building and we need to move up the floors and get key cards. Now there's this character, Mayor Domino, who he's bored because he doesn't really do anything as the mayor of a city run by a corporation, right? And so to get back at them, he's going to give you a key card to the next floor if you play a little game with him. Great. Now in Remake Part 1, Mayor Domino is recontextualized as the mastermind behind the Avalanche Resistance, coordinating these factions against Shinra, coordinating an open terrorist rebellion against the company from within the building itself. And he's been scrubbing all the footage of you infiltrating. He's been covering your tracks. He's been looping you in on things. And he's going to get you out of the building. He's got plans to get you up to the next floor, everything. He is a total mastermind. So if you think of that simple, funny, goofy example from OG that was expanded into this whole big overarching thing to explain so many silly cartoonish moments of the original game, I think that's the perfect example of what you get basically through all of Rebirth. These bite-sized, charming little set pieces that we all love from the original are blown up and created into these bombastic spectacles. Now, from the demo, you can obviously see we make it to Junin. Won't go any further, but if you remember OG Junin and all the things that go down there, yeah. I mean, it couldn't get any better. They took every angle they could with it, and I absolutely love how they pull off a lot of these things. Gold Saucer, I can't say anything, but oh my God. Might be one of my favorite things in the Final Fantasy series in decades, right? You know, like it's crazy. It's a spectacle. It's amazing. I love it. I love that this is the direction they've gone, because after playing something like as depressing and bland as Final Fantasy 15, I didn't know how badly I wanted a game like this to come along and just go above and beyond into the spectacle, into the bombast at every opportunity that it could. And so this game does that. It is the Mayor Domino rework through and through, every aspect, every scene, every location you go, expanded, exploded, whatever you want to say. And personally, I love it. I couldn't have asked for more, honestly. The same goes for the characters, too. The amount of interactions you get with them, the amount of growth you get with them, the team building. I felt like in Remake Part 1, the onion of Cloud and Barret's relationship was peeled a lot earlier and got a lot deeper, because you are playing a whole game with him as opposed to 4 or 5 hours with him. So rightfully so, you build that connection with him, and now all the characters are coming together. All the characters are having moments with each other. It's amazing. I love it. So what I want to talk about lastly is not necessarily about Rebirth, but the whole remake experience and what I've titled this video, The Beautiful Calamity. And let's talk about that calamity. A lot of people have this discussion of, you're making one game into three. It's The Hobbit all over again. It's a trick. It's all a cash grab. It's for the money. It's milking it, all of this stuff. And I think that is a little bit short-sighted of a take, and you have to understand a little bit of the game industry. And I'm going to help you with that by talking about a game called Metal Gear Solid 5, made by Hideo Kojima. And so let's start. In 2014, we got Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, released for the price of $40. It was a single stage of an intro to a game that came out about a year and a half before the full game, somewhere in that ballpark. And really, it was effectively a demo. Now, we've played the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth demo. I've been playing the Unicorn Overlord demo, which has got like 5 hours of gameplay in it. The fact that this game was $40 and it was effectively a demo is insane. But when you look at the hindsight 2020, when you look at the situation that game was in, we have to look at the development costs of games. They industry insiders have said that basically the cost of game development from the PS2 to the PS3 era was double. And then from PS3 to PS4 was double that. So game costs exploded and they're still essentially making the same game with a bunch of little extra features. You know, Snake's still sneaking around a base. Now he has 100 different things he can do to sneak around that base, but you know, is everybody going to use every little thing that Snake does? And so it turns out the reason Konami wanted to charge money for that basically game demo was it was incredibly expensive to develop Kojima's vision for Metal Gear Solid 5 in a fully open world with all of the bells and whistles that he wanted to do in an engine completely developed by themselves from the ground up specifically for that game. And so the final game of Phantom Pain is missing an entire chapter because they eventually just decided to part ways with him. They got to launch the game. They got to get it out because it's tens of millions of dollars over budget, behind schedule, all of these things. And so that's why we got Ground Zeroes the way we did, all of these things. Huge mess, right? Because the scope, the scale, they just bit off way more than they could chew for the budget they had and what they wanted to accomplish. But I love that game. So, you know, I can't complain that they went to that length, but sucks that it couldn't have been done in a better way, right? So if we look at Final Fantasy VII through that same lens of you now have to take everything that in that world and make it modern fidelity with that increased development cost, with that budget and everything. Let's look at this time frame here. From Remake Part 1 to Rebirth Part 2, it took 4 years to launch the next entry of the game. And Rebirth is a new game. It's got a lot of upgrades and updates. It's got a whole new world they've made, but they've got some of the underlying character graphics, the combat built out, the systems, the engine they're running on. They've got this momentum from making the first entry and just moving into the next one, right? Still, took them 4 years. Now let's look at the 4 years following original Final Fantasy VII's release. We got Final Fantasy VII in 1997. We got Final Fantasy VIII in 1999. Final Fantasy IX in 2000. And Final Fantasy X in 2001. So in this space of 4 or 5-ish years, 4 mainline Final Fantasy games, all legendary entries that people beloved for their own individual reasons, completely different games, completely different features and development and characters and everything, one of them even on a different platform. So when you think of that, on how that was the content we were getting back then, and now the amount of time it takes to get the next Final Fantasy out the door. Granted, we got Final Fantasy 16 in that time from another team, but just a little bit of perspective here on what it takes to make a new game. The question of how do you make all of Final Fantasy 7 into a modern high fidelity game that everybody's expecting? Now, you certainly could do the road of do a remaster like Final Fantasy VIII, which to me ticks me off a little bit that they basically did an upscale of the backgrounds and made it HD. And now I have this entry of Final Fantasy VIII in my game catalog and a separate entry for remaster when really you could have just released a patch for the original, if we're being honest. But you can get $20 for that remaster version and get that cash grab because everybody accuses Remake Rebirth of being cash grabs. I think that those are much more of a cash grab. Or you can go the route with like Star Ocean 2, where they did the new version of that, where it's got a whole new, it's got voice acting, it's got upscaled models, it's got 2.5D towns or whatever. And you could do that treatment to 7. But they went absolutely all the way. They went the most expensive route they could go. Now that Star Ocean game is $50 and Rebirth is $70, but I guarantee you it cost 10 times as much to develop Rebirth Remake individually than it did that Star Ocean remake, and thousands of times more expensive than they did for the remaster of Final Fantasy VIII. So for me, I don't see it as cash grab if you deliver on your promise. And so the splitting of the three games doesn't really read to me as like a milking the franchise thing. And it more so reads as we don't want to run into a Ground Zeroes Phantom Pain situation of biting off more than we can chew and never recouping what we need to make this a reality. Also, in a way, they may have shot themselves in the foot in this regard of what they were going to deliver with that promise of what a remake is. When they made that PS3 tech demo of Cloud jumping off the train, they did Ever Crisis that has a greatest hits version of Final Fantasy VII in there, and they have updated chibi models. They have newer high-res backgrounds of the locations and everything. And I don't think you were ever going to get away with that if you're Square Enix after doing that PS3 tech demo and you say, oh, here's Final Fantasy Remake. And it's not. It doesn't look anything like the PS3 tech demo. I don't think you're getting away with that if you're Square. So they had to rein in their scope and understand, what can we accomplish? What can we do in the scope of a game? You certainly could do the upscale, the high fidelity Midgar that they built and still make it 5 hours of gameplay, but I don't think that's going to be terribly satisfying to people. And frankly, I was one of those people as a kid that would say, I could play a whole game in Midgar. Let me play as a Shinra troop, like taking care of monsters or something. My brain was absolutely swimming with possibilities as a kid. I've said this on my podcast, but I got into art at the level I do now to this day at age 11, because I was drawing mages and dungeons and things made out of slum scrap. And I'd have little paper cutouts of characters moving across and like taking turns fighting each other and developing my own RPG combat systems and just drawing these crazy locales that I was taping together pieces of notebook paper to properly fit everything I wanted to do on a piece of paper. And so Final Fantasy VII's Midgar inspired me to do that. Now, I don't know that Fort Condor or Costa del Sol would have inspired me in that same way. I wanted Midgar. I wanted, as soon as we left Midgar, I wanted to go back to Midgar. So, you know, remake for me being all in Midgar, I don't know that I have a complaint about that, right? And I feel the same way about Rebirth. Like, they took every tiny little thing about the world that they could and just pulled every morsel and nugget of sustenance out of that. And personally, I like that. Because I think that's, you don't want to come out of it saying, man, I wish they had done this. You know, you want to go out of a situation knowing you did everything you could. And that's how I feel about Rebirth. I think that's great. I don't mind them being separate entries. And frankly, like, I'd rather it be this way than take 20 years to develop. Because with inflation, by the time it comes out, we'll be paying $200 for it anyway, right? I think the result shows, like, they aren't just sitting on their hands. They aren't lazy. They're doing stuff here. They're making things happen with this game. And like I said, the combat's updated, and it's not just like, oh, slap the same system in there, man, I'm loving the combat so much more than the first entry. So somebody came in there and said, here's what's working. Here's what's not working. We're going to refine. We're going to iterate. We're not just going to crank out the same thing in between part one and part two. So that's amazing to me that they did that instead of just, all right, drop in new monsters, drop in new, you know, higher stats, make it so your health goes up to 20,000 instead of 10,000. Like, that's the easy answer for RPG sequels or ones that are building off of previous entries. And they didn't take the easy answer in my regard. And lastly, we have to talk about, if you've played Remake Part 1, if you don't want to spoil any of that, then maybe this video wasn't the best for you to watch. But this is a review of Rebirth. So what are you doing here? The changes to the story. A lot of people disagree with them. They say it robs characters of their moments or whatever. But I think, all said and done, with the craziness that happens over the course of Rebirth 2, I will say this, this is not a spoiler. They spend a lot of time being very careful to tell you original Final Fantasy is still right there for you. We're not changing any of that, right? If you know the ending of Remake, you know what I'm talking about. And Remake is, it's being reborn into a new thing in its own space that it can exist and be what it needs to be new and exciting for people. Like, I walked into this more excited for Rebirth than I was excited for Remake, because walking into Remake, I thought, it's going to be everything I know about the game, just flashier looking and faster, you know, cool. I'll play it. Yeah, I'll get it when it comes out. Play it. And then by the end of it, I was like, what? Huh? Right. And going into Rebirth, I was more intrigued for what, and I'd say whatever the next entry is, super intrigued for that one too now because of the direction they took. But I've also taken some time to watch some streamers and YouTubers just who play Remake for the first time without ever playing 7OG. Like Remake is their first experience. And they too are just blown away by the whole thing. Isn't confusing or convoluted or weird to them. The mystery is there and it's tantalizing and exciting and it's pushing them right into the next entry. I'll recommend a YouTuber much bigger than me. Her name is Castaclysm. I watched her play through Remake. She was blown away by the game and super enjoyed it and is now like all sucked in. So if that's what the Remake series is doing for the player base, then by all means, that's great. And you could say like, well, that original story would have been just as motivating and captivating to them. I don't know that the buzz to pull more people would have existed of like, if us, the veterans are all saying, yeah, it's the old game. It just looks prettier now. It's like, do people want to play a 30-year-old game that just looks prettier? And so I think the buzz coming from us and in the community and everything of all our minds just blown by what's happening to the series, I think that's a good thing that it's like, as the game puts it, the unknown journey. We're stepping into this unknown journey. And I think that's cool. And it still pays all of the respect to all of the original moments for the most part, except for a handful of them. But, you know, like I've said this a thousand times, but when we go back to Remake Part 1, like, were we going to end a game with Motorball? Was that going to be the last boss of a game? I always knew that, like, they're going to have to do something. Like, in my head, I thought the Nibelheim flashback is going to be the ending of somehow, like, that was going to be the ending of Remake Part 1 after we leave Midgar. Because they've got to give us some morsel of the A-plot instead of President Keel's over, go fight Motorball, right? They've got to give us something, or like Rufus driving a big mech or turning into a demon or whatever. Like, I don't know. They got to do something because Motorball can't be the last ball. And they absolutely delivered on that, but they also delivered on it's a whole ass experience. Like, there's a whole arc happening here instead of just hints at something coming later. So I think that was the most important thing in splitting these games up is like, how do you deliver complete experiences within each one without taking on that colossal task of doing all of 7 again in one game? And I think they pulled it off. I entered Rebirth with an air of excitement that I didn't previously have. And at the end of the day, I found that it felt just as new as it possibly could have from a game that I've played 100 times. How did a game that I've played 100 times feel new to me? And that's what Rebirth pulled off here. And it's still a reflection of what it was. It still pays homage to what it was, even if it doesn't have some specific little moment play out that was your most important moment. There's other moments that are more important to me that it completely paid respect to and handled perfectly in every way by changing things, by doing it differently, or by giving me a deeper character dynamic or something I didn't know I wanted until I saw it. So I think that's beautiful. So the calamity for me, the reforging of the world, the beauty of it is we still have that original world there for us. We don't have this Warcraft 3 reforged situation where overnight the original game just disappeared and was deleted from our library and patched out of existence. We have OG, we have the Remake series, and the two of them exist in their own little world. The Cataclysm hit, and the Calamity from the skies, the meteor hit at the end of Remake, and what we have now is something new and beautiful, and I love it. So thanks for dropping by. That's my review. I like to talk, as you can tell. This is not a short review by any means, but if you stuck around for the whole thing, think about dropping a like or subscribe. Think about checking out our podcast, the Hero with 1,000 Potions podcast, where we do an analysis of Final Fantasy VII Remake and OG at the same time in tandem with my buddy Tyler, fellow Gunblade guy. You can find that wherever podcasts are. We're wrapping up Remake soon. Would have liked to have it done by Rebirth, but hey, what are you going to do? Life gets in the way sometimes. So appreciate you watching, listening, wherever you are. If you're on our Discord with our buddies, check it out. Join us. Have a blast. Love ya. Peace out. Later.